This morning, I want to talk about another woman. And this woman, I believe, is the epitome of hope. And there's only a small little section written about her. But I think that that it's a good word as we talk about this first Sunday of Advent. So, moving right along, the fourth Sunday before Christmas, around the world, begins the celebration of Advent, a time of waiting, time of preparation for Christmas. And this important season kicks off the annual church calendar. Now, each Sunday of Advent has a particular theme, and that varies from one tradition to another. Here at Pathways, we are not strictly a liturgical church, but we do practice, and we want to stay in lockstep with the church at large. So, as it has been said several times, that today is the theme is hope. The other four are peace, joy, and love. You'll see that there is a real candle lit. It's only one, and it's sitting safely by itself. And that candle represents the symbol of hope. It's usually a purple candle. This tradition recalls the hope God's people clung to through the generations as they anticipated the coming of the Messiah. And the hope that we have as we watch for Christ in his second coming. So today we're going to look a little bit more closely behind the Advent, our Advent of hope. Now, all the way back in the beginning in the book of Genesis, God promised Adam and Eve that their descendants would crush the head of Satan. And this was the first of many prophecies from God about the Messiah who would come to save his people. Over the generations, God promised a rescuer from the line of Abraham and David who would be born of a virgin and called Emmanuel, which you know is God with us. God would come, he would redeem his people, make all things right again, and establish an everlasting kingdom here on earth. That's the part that we're waiting for. So, this morning, if I were to ask you to define Christmas with one word, apart from the words Jesus or Christ, what word would you choose? Would you choose peace? Would you choose love? Or would you use some other word, even though those two words are very accurate and applicable? There's a number of words that we could use to describe Christmas. However, the word we're focusing on today is hope. Christmas is hope. It's an unshakable hope. One of the major messages for Christmas is the hope that we find in Jesus Christ. God is our hope. So this morning, the text that we are going to work through is going to be found in Luke 2:36 through 38. Now, I'm going to be the first to admit to you that this is not a traditional Christmas passage, but I want you to think through with me with this passage. I'm using this passage this morning because, as I said before, I think that the woman in this passage epitomizes what it is to hope in the middle of life. This woman had unshakable hope. So, the scripture reads, "Now there was one woman, and her name was Anna, a prophetess, and she was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but serving God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. In this text, we meet a senior adult woman by the name of Anna. And scholars don't actually know exactly how old Anna was. They think she was probably over 100 years old because she was a widow for 84 years. But the reason I bring her up this morning is because she was a person that displayed a remarkable living hope that I think we would do well to emulate. Now, I understand that the word hope was not explicitly used in the text, but the concept of hope is present. The highlight of Anna's life was to meet Jesus, the Messiah, who represented the hope for her people. And she had learned to live in the waiting, in the hope, in the advent, amidst the darkness of what her people endured. And she was greatly rewarded because she got to see the true message of Christmas, because she was able to see Jesus Christ. I want to think of through this morning the definition of hope. And then I want to consider where we place our hope, and then I'm going to conclude by discussing the power of hope. So, our definition of hope this morning that we're going to work through. Webster's dictionary doesn't really distinguish the world's definition from the biblical definition of hope. And I think it's important that we distinguish the two. Webster's defines hope as a feeling. It's what is wanted will happen, if that makes sense. It's a desire accompanied by expectation. Now, there are two words that weaken, I think, the world's definition of hope. One word is feeling. If I base hope on a feeling, then my hope is going to be disappointed. Let me give you an example. I hope Peter's going to leave here and cook dinner today. Does that mean it's going to happen? Probably not. Sorry, honey. I'll give you another one. Boy, I sure hope the Commanders have a good season this year. Does that feeling guarantee a good football team? I think not. In fact, Wayne and I have been crying about that all season long. Another part of the world's definition is a desire accompanied by an expectation. So let me give an example of the shallowness of desire. What if a student, one of our students here, says, "Boy, I hope I get an A on my test today." Okay, we know that that child is not studied. Is that going to get them where they need to be? It's not enough. What is that hope based in? So let's talk about biblical hope. Now, obviously, the Bible does not have a concise definition of hope. However, the definition I share this morning of the Bible basic philosophy of hope. I'm paraphrasing here. What we see throughout scriptures as it talks about hope. What I see is that hope is an expectation, but it's based on the promises of God. God's hope is not based on feelings or desires or positive thoughts. They are based on God's promises. There's an old gospel song some of you may know, Standing on the Promises of God. You may remember that. And part of the song said, standing on the promises that cannot fail, through the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. Standing on the promises of God. For the Christian family, our hope is in God, who is a promise keeper. He is faithful. He cannot lie. He is our hope. Now let's look at where we too can have the unshakable hope that Anna had. And remember, for 84 years, every day, night and day, she was in the temple praying and fasting and waiting for the promise of God to show. What Hannah knew and what we need to remember is that hope is not found in religious practices. Now, Anna was a prophet. She spent her life serving the Lord in the temple. She even came from a good bloodline. But even with all of that, that's not where she put her hope. Going to church does not give you hope, although it is a very good practice, and we want to encourage it. We want you here. And even practicing the disciplines are great things to do, but that in and of itself is not going to give you hope. Hope is not found in religious practices. Hope is also not found in relationships with other people. Yes, we want to gather together as a body of believers and to encourage each other. That helps to give us hope, but that's not where we place our hope. Anna's husband had been dead for many years, so she understood that hope is not found in a relationship with another person. Our hope is found in the person of Jesus Christ. So why is that? We can put our hope in Jesus Christ because he is the fulfillment of God's promises. All of God's promises, all of God's earthly activities, all centered around Jesus. All of history, as far as man is concerned, is built around Jesus. History is even divided before his birth and after his birth. Maybe you can understand the fulfillment of God's promises by understanding Jesus' fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. There was a book that was written a few years ago that's called The Case for Christ, and you may remember it was Lee Strobel, and it was very popular at the time. Lee was an attorney, and he turned investigator, if you will, and he wanted to investigate all of the claims of Christ because he was an active atheist at the time when he started. Lee Strobel, in his book, says that some people use the prophecies of the Old Testament as an excuse to say, well, Jesus' birth was just a coincidence, all of those things are just a coincidence. That's how man has talked about it and lined it up. But those are just merely coincidences. And they use that to try to deny the claims of his deity. Lee Strobel met a man. He was a mathematician. And his name was Peter W. Stoner. And some of you might have heard about this at the time. Peter Stoner took all of the possibilities and the probabilities of Jesus fulfilling 48 of the Old Testament prophecies. Because if you look within the scriptures, Jesus' life lines up with fulfilling 48 of those prophecies. Peter Stoner said that there was a 1 in 13 trillion chance of one person being able to fulfill 48 prophecies. So, what that says, and he wrote that in a book called Science Speaks. So, you can look it up. The material of the Bible, the claims about Jesus, are not random. They are not coincidence. They can be proven because God is God and God's promises can be trusted. Jesus was also the proof that God's plans cannot be frustrated. He was crucified, but he rose again after 3 days. He could not be cut off. Satan thought he could frustrate God's plans. However, he could not. The little Christmas carol that we'll sing later on in the month, O Little Town of Bethlehem, states that Jesus' purpose was to bring light. In verse 1, it said, yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hope and fears of all the years were met in thee tonight. God's plans could not be frustrated. And we have proof that we can put our hope in Jesus. So let's take a second to talk about the power of that hope. The power of the hope that we find. First, we see that hope doesn't disappear. Real hope, hope in God, hope in the Father, helps us to look beyond our present difficulties. It helps us to look beyond our present circumstances. In our text, we see that Anna was an aged senior adult, but yet she was able to keep focused and keep primed in the fact of who God is and not what her circumstances were. By Anna's life, we can also see that life can disappoint, but hope does not. Hope does not disappoint. People can let us down. Life lets us down. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, shares an encouraging verse with us that undergirds this point. He said in Romans 5:5 that now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given it to us. There's another song that states this point. Guess I'm thinking about a lot of songs this time of year. There's another old gospel song that says that he didn't bring us this far to leave us. Hope does not disappoint when we place our hope in the appropriate things. In fact, hope gives us a reason to live. Hope motivates us. And without hope, there's no way that we can keep going. Here's a kind of light but kind of accurate example that I found through our great theologian, Charles Schultz, in his Peanuts comic strips. There's a comic strip that had Lucy and Linus together. And they were both sitting in front of the TV, and Lucy said to Linus, "Could go get me a glass of water." And Linus kind of looked surprised. He said, "Why would I do anything for you? You don't do anything for me." So Lucy thought about it for a second, and she said, "Okay, on your 75th birthday, I will bake you a cake." So Linus got up, headed to the kitchen to get a glass of water, and he said, "Life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to." And I think that's true. Because without hope, we cannot survive. Paul shared in several verses in the New Testament that describes what it's like or describes the hope that we can find in Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 1:3, he said, "Blessed be the God, our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He also says that now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. The Bible also explains that those without Christ have no eternal hope. It says, "At the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." But I don't want you to be ignorant, brother, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Family, when you have hope in God, it is enduring. When you have hope in God, it cannot be frustrated. When you have hope in God, you can endure to the end, because hope in God is eternal. The last passage I would bring to mind when we observe Anna's life is that the Bible says that we have this hope as an anchor for our soul. Our hope is in Christ. So on this first day of Advent, as we talk about hope, I want to ask the question, where are you placing your hope? Are you placing your hope in your bank account, your 401k? Are you placing your hope in your children, perhaps on your job? Where have you put your hope? This morning we're about to celebrate communion, and I think that that is appropriate, because on the table there lies the symbols of our hope. We here at Pathways, if you're a guest with us this morning and you have made a profession and you have invited Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life, we invite you to come to the table with us this morning. But if that's something that you are still trying to understand for your own life, I would ask that you take this time to reflect on who Jesus is And how is it that you can get to a place where that is where you can put your hope? Pastor Jonathan is sitting up front, and I'm here. We have elders, we have deacons, and perhaps even the person that came with you who would love to talk to you about that. Where is your hope? What would happen if you were to pass today? Do you have the hope of eternal life? Do you know that you know that you know that you'll be spending eternity with God? And it is possible to know. Jesus Christ died so that we could find that peace, so that we could have that hope. As we get ready to come to the table, I'm going to ask for those who are prepared to take communion this morning, if they have been served. We have people that are walking around. Our deacons are here. I have one there. Thank you. Our deacons are here to make sure that everyone can participate in the supper. We hope for so many different things. We hope for so, so many different things. But family, our hope can be found here around the table. This is where we can put our trust. This is where we can put our stuff. This is where we can put our anxieties, our worries. This is where we come, because the Lord said that if you are heavy and weary, that this is where you can come. Give it to Him. And this is where you can find rest. He did the work. All we have to do is believe and receive. So I'm going to ask you to very carefully peel the top off of this cup to reveal the wafer that is underneath. It's a little tricky. Take your time. I can wait for you. Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, it says that, "For what I received from the Lord, I pass on to you." The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He gave thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please eat. If you would carefully peel back and expose He said, "In the same way, after supper, He took a cup and said, 'This is the new covenant in my blood. And whenever you do this, remember me.'" This is where our hope is, if you're a Christian. It's in the broken body, and it's in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And He gave us this instruction to do this, to remember Him, and to do this until He returns. That, family, is the meaning of Advent. This is our hope. This is what we're waiting for His return. And we can believe it. Because he came before. And he's going to come again. Take and drink. Go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, what a privilege it is to be able to come to your table and to come together as a family and to remember your sacrifice on the cross. By your word, we are set free. Thank you, Father. We do not have to live hopelessly. Because we are your children, we can live in the hope and the assurance that you are preparing a place for us. And we know that because you've prepared that place for us, that you will come. Receive us. But while we wait, Father, here, thank you that we don't have to wait in fear. We don't have to wait anxiously, but we can wait expectantly, unshakably, because of the sinless life that you lived. And that you died on the cross in our place. That you are covering us every moment, every hour with your love and your grace. Thank you for taking away our sin. Thank you that we have been freely forgiven. But may we never forget the costly price that you paid. As we wait, thank you. We say this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name.